Erios Perek Dalad Mishnah Ches 4:8. This Mishnah and the next one are going to be discussing topics related to Yibum. So let me just give a super brief and really partial introduction to Yibum to make sure it's clear. If you have a man who dies without any living descendants, so his wife, who's now a widow, has a mitzvah to either A, marry her surviving brother-in-law, if there is one, or B, do chalitza, a procedure that involves essentially taking off a shoe and spitting on the ground of the brother-in-law and saying he's refusing to build up his brother's home, name. And until that's done, either yibum or chalitza, the widow is forbidden from marrying anybody else. She remains bound, if you will, to her surviving brother-in-law. That bond is called a zika. She's zakuka lo. She is committed to him with unfinished business until they either resolve that zika, again, either through yibum, him marrying her and then living together, or chalitz, which is something analogous to a divorce. Now, if a person in general would marry his brother's wife, even if the brother, the surviving brother, is alive and the other brother is dead, under normal circumstances, that is a prohibition from the Torah, Eishes Ach, and it's an Isser Kares, it's a very severe penalty, it's totally prohibited. So that is overridden by the mitzvah of doing Yibum. But other restrictions in terms of who you can marry, Arayos, are not lifted by the mitzvah of Yibum. So if there's another reason why there be a prohibition of marrying one's sister-in-law, other than just that she's one's sister-in-law, so then that person remains forbidden and there's no Yibum mitzvah at all. So in other words, you have two brothers, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven has a wife who is who's named Shoshana, and Shoshana is a daughter of Shimon, meaning Reuven married his niece. So if Reuven dies, so then certainly Shimon can't do Yibum with Shoshana because Shoshana is his daughter. Okay, everyone agrees to that. Now it's possible that under Torah law, a man could have two wives. So Reuven could have this wife Shoshana, his niece, and he could also have another wife whose name is Rachel, who's unrelated to anybody. So the first point of our Mishnah is, if Shimon certainly can't marry his own daughter, who's one of Reuven's widows, if there's another widow, Rachel, can he marry her? Or is it a package deal? If Shoshana's off the hook from any zika, any bond with Shimon, so then so too her co-wives, the other widows, are also off the hook without any unfinished business, any bond between the other co-wives, Rachel in this case, and Shimon. The relationship of co-wives in Hebrew, in the Mishnah, is called tsaros. So each one is a tsara to the other one. The question is, are all the tsaros exempt if any of the tsaros are exempt from their relationship, from having a yibum or chalitza with, in this case, Shimon, the one brother? So that's the question that a Mishnah wants to answer. It's a machlokas beis hillel and beis shammai. Mishnah says inside, beis shammai matirin es hatzaros la'achim. Beis shammai say that the brothers, meaning in this case Shimon, the surviving brother, may marry, he can't marry the one widow, Shoshana, because that's his daughter. He could marry Shoshana's tzara, her co-wife, namely Rachel. And since it's mutter, it becomes obligatory, meaning obligatory for Shimon to resolve the zika in order to enable Rachel to marry somebody else, meaning either Rachel can marry him through Yibum, and then that solves that, or they could perform the chalitza process, and then Rachel can marry somebody else. But until that happens, Rachel is restricted. She's not what's called panuy l'shuk. She's not available to the general population. She is restricted to either doing Yibum or chalitza with her brother-in-law, Shimon. Beis Hillel Osrin. Beis Hillel say no. Beis Hillel learn it's a package deal based on a pasuk, limited from a pasuk, that based on that, what they learn from that verse, if one tsara, one of the widows, is exempt from doing yibum or chalitza with a particular brother, then all of the tsaros, all of the co-wives are exempt. So in the case I described before, since Shimon is the only brother, and Shimon, his daughter Shoshana, married and was married to Reuven when Reuven died. So then, just as Shimon can't do Yibmor Chalitza with his own daughter, the widow Shoshana, he also can't do Yibmor Chalitza with her tzara, her co-wife, the other widow, Rachel. Okay, the base of that is a pasuk. It's a limud. The pasuk is really starting in Vayikra Yirches, 18:18. There it's talking about not marrying two sisters. The isha elachosa lo sikach litzror. One may not take both a woman and her sister as co-wives. But the word litzror is extra because it could have just said the isha elachosa lo sikach. You can't take a woman and her sister as two wives. So what's the litzror coming to add? So it's learned that the tsaros are exempt in this way as well, like that's based Hillel's Limud. Now, the second part of the Mishnah says, well, what happens if they go through with a Yibm or a Chalitza? Meaning, Shimon does Yibm or Chalitza with Rachel. So it's going to be very different outcomes depending on if you're talking about Beis Hillel or Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai would say, good, everything's cool. And Beis Hillel says, no, that's totally forbidden. Therefore, says the Mishnah, Chaltzu, if they perform Chalitza, so that means that Rachel takes off Shimon's shoes, spits on the ground, says, this is what happens, the guy won't build his brother's home. So, Beis Shammai posts them in a kahuna. They say, okay, that's cool. That's cool, that was the right thing to do. And now, Rachel's free to go, and she can marry whomever she wants, but not a Kohen. Why? Because a Kohen is restricted from marrying certain categories of people, amongst them a Zona, which I'll describe more in a moment, and a Gerusha. A Gerusha is a divorcee. And while Rachel is not really a Gerusha, she's not a divorcee, per se, she is what's called a Chalutza. She is someone who was essentially rejected from this bond, and Shimon didn't want to marry her. So she's considered rabbinically tantamount to, equal to, a grusha, meaning grusha and chalutza are considered to be kind of the same thing. The grusha is forbidden from marrying a kohen midoraisa. The chalutza, forbidden from marrying a kohen midorabanan. Therefore, she is a bona fide chalutza. She could have done yibum, she did a chalitza instead with Shimon. So now Rachel can marry whomever she wants, but she's forbidden to a kohen as a chalutza, asur midorabanan to a kohen. Ubeisil machshirin. Beisil say the chalitza that Shimon performed with Rachel, it was just a farce. It was nothing. It's the same as if I go to some random woman in the street and give her do a chalitza with her. What does that mean? Nothing. It's a joke. So since there was no applicability, no relevance to this action that they were doing between Rachel and Shimon because she didn't need to have chalitza done to her, it just was a farce. Therefore, she's not considered a chalitza. She's not like a rabbinic divorcee, if you will. And therefore, she wasted her time and efforts with the chalitza, and now she could anyways, she's not a chalutza, she can marry anyone she wants, like before, even a kohen. On the other side of the coin, nis yabmu, what happens if they end up getting married? That means that Rachel now moves in with Shimon. They're living together like man and wife. So again, Beis Shammai says, that's cool, that's great, that's the mitzvah of yibum, and everything is hunky-dory. But Beis Hillel will say, what are you talking about? That's the Isser Doraisa of Eishas Ach. Since there was no Zika, no obligation, and therefore no permissibility in Shimon marrying his late brother's wife, that's a prohibition from the Torah, prohibited, penalty of Karas, and this marriage is totally forbidden. And the product of this family would be Mamzerim, and the woman who participates in the marriage, in the relationship, not really marriage, in the relationship, meaning Rachel, who sleeps with Shimon. So that's a forbidden from the Torah relationship, and therefore, by them sleeping together, she becomes what's called a zona. A zona is a halachic term that applies to any woman who participates in a Jewish woman who sleeps with someone with whom she's forbidden to sleep with, which is the case over here, and therefore she now becomes forbidden from marrying a Kohen by virtue of the fact she's a zona. So says the Mishnah inside, Nis Yabmu, if Rachel now moves in with, sleeps with Shimon, her brother-in-law. Beis Shammai machshirin. Beis Shammai say, koshel mahajan, this is great. This is called Yibum. Everything's perfect. Beis Hillel posen. Beis Hillel say, no, the whole thing is not okay. The marriage is forbidden. The relationship's forbidden. The children are forbidden as mamzerim. The woman is forbidden to marry a kohen, okay, as a zona. So there you go. We have a world of Isser. So therefore, you see here, since in many ways Beis Hillel is a strict one, as mentioned this Mishnah, he's forbidding lots of things. He's forbidding these things from happening. Now, if you think about it, the family trees, if you will, the genealogy, the lineage, the pedigree, that's what I want, the pedigree of the Beis Hillel community and the Beis Shammai community are now going to be kind of in some ways like mutually exclusive, right? Because in Beis Hillel's world, people who are supposedly kosher are actually zonos, and their children who are supposedly kosher are actually mamzerim. And similarly, in the Beis Shammai world, women who supposedly should have done chalitza yibum now are marrying people they shouldn't be marrying in the shuk and so on. So the family trees are a big mess. And therefore, you might think that Beis Hillel and Shammai basically would say to each other, listen, people from your community are forbidden to us and vice versa because you guys don't follow the rules as far as we're concerned. But says the Mishnah, that's not what happened. Va'afal pi she'elu posen ve'elu machshirin. Even though Beis Hillel said that, you know, they said the Tzara can't do Yibum, and therefore she's... The restrictions about the Kuna and the Mamzerim and the like, ve'elu machshirin, Beis Shammai say, no, it's okay, and therefore the ramifications, as I said before, lo nimnu Beis Shammai melisa nashim Beis Hillel, v'lo Beis Hillel melisa nashim Beis Shammai. Even so, the two communities didn't disallow their members from marrying one family into the other. What that means is, not that they looked the other way, not that they ignored the problems, that's not what happened. They trusted one another. In other words, Beis Shammai would tell Beis Hillel, we have a great girl in our community, but you shouldn't marry into her because according to your view, she's restricted as a whatever, a mamzera sort of sort. But we think she's kosher, and vice versa. So the point is that Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai trusted one another to tell them the truth and present the halachic pedigree of these different women and men based on their, you know, the other side's perspective. And since they were trusted, they can marry into each other's families, which is a great thing and sort of bespeaks the importance of, you know, you got a difference of opinion that shouldn't necessarily make a break in the love or respect of the community. And similarly, says the Mishnah, more than that, v'chol ha-taharos v'tumos shahayu elu matarin ve'elu matamin lo nimnu melios osim taharos elu agav elu. Same kind of thought here. Now we're talking about tuma and tahara. So Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai argue in who knows countless places regarding issues of tuma and tahara, and therefore each of the two communities would have different opinions on whether something is tamei or tahor. But nevertheless, they didn't not eat in each other's house. They didn't restrict themselves from borrowing each other's, you know, I don't know what, you know, utensils for cooking and preparation of food and all the like, because they trust one another. Again, they trusted Beis Hillel, trusted the Beis Shammai to tell them, according to you guys, this is not okay, or according to you guys, this is okay, and they would believe one another, again, fostering mutual respect and cooperation and coordination in the community, even though they have different worldviews and treat things very differently, but they can still live together, marry into one another, and be, you know, good neighbors without any problem, which certainly is an important lesson and makes this quite a famous Mishnah indeed. And like I said before, this Mishnah isn't just appearing here, it's also appearing in Maseches Yevamos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Dalet.